And it's in chapter 4, we're to walk in unity. And also, we are given the put-offs and the put-ons. But by the way, chapter 4 has everything to do with marriage as well. And then chapter 5, we learn to walk in love, walk in the light, and walk in wisdom. These two have everything to do with marriage. And also we see to be filled with the Holy Spirit, submitting to one another in love and speaking of submission. We pick it up at verse 22. And let's pray. Father, it's good to know you. Lord, you did a miracle in my life, a wife's life, 23 years ago. How wonderful to celebrate this day. I ask you to do a miracle in the lives of many this morning who will turn from their wicked ways, turn from their sins, turn from their self-destruction, and turn to you in all your grace and love. I pray for marriages here this morning. There are some marriages where, Lord, they're here in church maybe every Sunday, but at home, they're not doing a thing according to your way. I ask for repentance, that you would be glorified and that they would have a good marriage, Lord. I pray for those here today that are saying, why am I here? Because I'm not even married. Lord, I pray for them that they will hear your word and that they would know for that time when they do get married, if that is your will, they'll know what to do with it. They'll know what kind of a person to look for. I pray for those who have been divorced and ask that there would not be a spirit of condemnation on their hearts, as they may want to beat themselves up over this one. But I want to thank you, Lord, if there's ever any reason to beat ourselves up, that you are already beaten at the cross and we are washed clean. I thank you, Lord, that regardless of anything that has gone on in anybody's life here today, I thank you that today is where they start in your eyes. I ask for a fresh start for everybody in every way here today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Be sure to understand, you single people, this is going to apply to you one day. So prepare yourselves. If you are widowed or divorced, and even if you find that your divorce was not within the realm of God's permission, the Lord will take you here right now, just as we know from 1 Samuel, the amazing thing, even David's raunchy sin that he had committed with Bathsheba, and he'd even murdered her husband. God busted him, and he suffered for it, for sure. But the next thing we see is that God is blessing him and Bathsheba and giving him Solomon. It would be Bathsheba's son, Solomon, that would rule and reign and also be in the line of Jesus Christ. And so when God looked upon David and Bathsheba, it was like he just saw them and went, oh, there's a nice couple. Without even any realization how they got there. We've got to understand that that's how God sees us. If we don't understand that, then you don't understand what the cross was for. Doesn't the cross, doesn't the blood of Jesus wash all sin? Amen. as far as the east is from the west. I will remember your lawless deeds no more. Now, of course, if you're not a Christian, you're carrying them around with you. How wonderful to have those lifted. So anyway, yes, we can look at this study if you're not married at this time, for whatever reason that may be, this will benefit you as well. Okie dokie. So, good. I've said it. Now, speaking of submission, you know, Paul is now going to demonstrate God's order through our relationships. And this is the first of three relationships that he does. The three relationships are husbands and wives, parents and children, masters and slaves, or in our case, bosses and employees, right? So, marriage 101. Begin now, verse 22. Beginning with wives. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Make sure you understand it says your own husbands. Nobody else's husband's got anything on you. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. All right. Already, we have nervous ladies in the room. We have nervous ladies. We have angry ladies. We have bitter ladies. Every kind of lady sitting here right now. There is no greater red flag to some ladies than these verses. Because immediately your defenses go up and you say, yeah, well, what if he's like this? What if he's like this? Well, we're going to talk about that. But let me tell you, wives, your defenses go up because you're afraid. You don't trust your husband. But the fear is there because you don't trust the Lord. You see, every woman... No, I shouldn't say every, because some of you are just not like this. Many ladies want the steering wheel. They want to drive this. And the entire time, and of all of the ladies I've ever known that want to be the driver, they are also lamenting because their husband is not the driver. Yeah, but every time he gets behind the wheel, what do? You tell him where to drive. You know? So there's this struggle, this little control freak in all of us that believes that if everything is within my understanding and my control, then I'm going to be okay. But if we have our way with all of that control, then we are more bound up than anything, because that is not God's design. That is our self-serving, self-preserving design. Now, let's talk about this for a second so you don't get all that nervous, ladies. First, God has set up an order of authority, and that is just a fact. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, Paul says, I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. You know, authority is such a dirty word today because of all of the abuses of authority. But understand that authority in and of itself is not the problem. The problem is the abusers of the authority. There's your problem. It's that same thing. It's like every time somebody uses some item to harm somebody else, they want to ban the item instead of ban that person. Well, you remember how silly it was. I think it was in Massachusetts years ago now, where, you know, some kid put bleach in a super soaker water gun. And so there was a bill out to ban super soakers. Well, why are you going to ban that? Well, you could put bleach in it. No, just ban the kid and, you know, throw him in the ocean or something. But, you know, And so is the case with authority. People think that authority is the problem because authority can be abused. Most definitely, and we've seen it throughout our history. Paul lays down the structure as God, who never changes, set it in order. And so authority is still a good thing. That's God the Father, then Christ, then man, then woman. But remember that Jesus was totally under the authority of God the Father. If you guys take notes, John 5:19, John 8:28. Yet he is equally God. John 1:1, John 8:58, John 10:30. So he was submissive to the Father, yet equal. I think it's important that you and I see this, and ladies, that you understand this, because this isn't a matter of inferiority, because the fact is, women are also equal with men. We are all the same. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So every social setting, everything that involves people, be it at home or a sports team or an army or an entire country, there must be a leader or there will be chaos. No one will know what to do. And then there will be power struggles. And so we got to understand that God's design is perfect. He set it up that way. And it also does very well with how he made us. So now let's get back to that dirty word that ladies don't like, submit. Oh, wait a minute. Don't forget the clause in everything. Just in case you were nervous, I thought I'd just turn the screws a little harder. Let us address what it does not mean. So some of y'all can just take a breath. It does not mean submit yourself to physical abuse. Understand that. It does not mean you are a brainless, lifeless doormat. It does not mean you are a slave, and it does not mean that if he tells you to do something illegal, then you have to do it because you're supposed to submit. We learn from the book of Acts that even the disciples said, you tell me, should I obey you or should I obey the Lord? But that leads us to the next thing, though. As it says, as to the Lord. Many people, many ladies, and some pastors have interpreted as to the Lord, there in verse 22, as when he acts like Jesus, then I'll submit. In other words, I only got to submit as far as he's Christ-like. Which is funny because that what that does for her is it makes her the judge of what is right and wrong. And it puts her in the driver's seat. What it means as to the Lord, what it means is that your submission to your husband is an act of submission to the Lord. In other words, you say you're a Christian. You can tell you're a Christian by your submission to your husband. Yes. And I know that submission is a dirty word because it sounds like a license for husbands to be tyrants. And there are some loser husbands that do see it that way. I has seen more times than I want husbands use these scriptures in order to take advantage of their wives. But I will tell you, men, if you have to tell your wife
that you are the authority, that means you ain't got none. You got no authority. And I'll just say it so plainly as I can. Men, if you are a tyrant at home, bossing your wife around, you're a loser.
That's right.
You can repent today. Don't get your feelings hurt because I told you the truth about you. Just repent. Because God will not accept it. So what does God say? What does His word say here to the husbands? So you ladies who are afraid to submit, let's see what God is calling you to submit to over here. Okay? Husbands, I've told the wives feel like they got off fairly easy. And husbands are thinking in their hearts, that's right, I hope she's hearing this. And here we go, husbands. Let's see what God says to you. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. We'll stop there. There's such a flow going here, and just have to stop somewhere in the middle of this flow. So husbands, here it is, that word, love. Love. That's our job, husbands. Amen. Love. And I'll tell you this. Here's some secrets about women. Husbands, I'm going to tell you secrets about them. Any woman longs to submit herself to a man that truly loves her. And, men, there is nothing more attractive to a Christian woman than a godly man. Now, it's very clear, men, and you got to understand this. This does not say, husbands, rule your wives with a mighty hand. Be as selfish as you can be. Besides, you're the boss. It does not say that, and yet people act like that and try to cite these scriptures. Amazing to me. John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus talking to his disciples, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. He says, as I have loved you. That is what makes it new. Before, it was just love. Like, oh yeah, I love you. I love you, man. I love you. No, Jesus says, do it the way I have done it. And so, let's go back, men, to verse 23. It says, Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Now, that's who Jesus is. And as a husband, we have been likened to this. And we are to model ourselves after this. Now, you and I don't save our wives. There is only one Savior. We see that throughout the Scripture, just Jesus. Jesus is your wife's only Savior. You are not her Savior. But we are her Savior in one sense, with a little s. We are her protection. We are her, in effect, her knight in shining armor. You know, I know a lot of y'all don't look like that. But she has got to know that with you, she is safe. She is secure. Everything's going to be all right. That's big. That is part of us being the Savior of the home. But as we look and see that we are to love our wives, and then we are told from John 13, and see it here, that we are to do it as Jesus did it. We can, well, what did Jesus do for us? Number one, he gave himself for us. Now, some of you have been waiting for me to define love in the original language, in the Greek, because there are four separate Greek words that we translate love. But the love spoken of here is agape. It is the love that it is a godly kind of love that can only be actually given if you have his Holy Spirit living in you. And that is a love that gives, that does not demand anything in return. And that's not a feeling either. It's an action. It is a choice. You're committed to give regardless of what comes back or doesn't come back. Jesus did that very thing as he laid his life down for us. We are the ones who benefit from what he did. And he keeps loving us. In fact, there are people here right now who don't love Jesus. They don't know Jesus. You don't like the. In fact, you can't wait to get out of here. In fact, you're going to be shocked because I'm going to be talking for a long time. Like, does this guy ever stop? No. And you have all of these feelings. You think Christians are a bunch of whatever you think they are. And you know what? God still loves you, agapes you. Amen. He loves you with an everlasting love, even though you may even hate him. You may pretend he doesn't exist. But that doesn't stop him from loving you. And as he was on the cross, he did that for you personally. Amen. That's agape love. He doesn't say, oh, well, just forget it then. No. He keeps loving you and loving you and loving you in spite of who you are. And you get saved, and you know what? Hey, you get washed clean, your life changes, you turn from sin, but still, it's in spite of who you are because we're still carrying around this flesh bag, right? Oh. He still pours out this agape love all the time. Pours it out, pours it out, pours it out. And so, husbands, we're commanded to lay our lives down for our wives in the same manner, no matter what comes back to us. And I know, I warned you a few weeks ago that I would say this, and I'm going to say it now. Excuse me. I know, husbands, and I know you're serious when you say it. Oh, man, yeah, I totally lay down my life for my wife. You know, if they're like, if she's like standing on the railroad tracks and here comes a train, I'd throw her out of the way and throw myself in front of that train for her just like that. Oh, yeah, that's... Yeah, but you won't get her purse for her. We, husbands, we are so good at boasting of a hypothetical situation that we will never see. What about the situations that are before us every minute of every day? Oh, man. Hey, guys, don't get too upset. I'm busted too. But the fact is this. The Lord Jesus laid down his life, and so husbands, love your wives just as Christ did. And he demonstrated that love in that he laid down his life. And so, in every little thing, husbands, God has called us to lay down our lives, to go to the lowest place in order to serve our wives. As Jesus himself said, he did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. That's a part of love. That he might sanctify and cleanse. Jesus sanctifies us. He sets us apart. That's what it means. Makes us holy. He says, you used to be in this pile over here. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to put you in this pile. I'm going to set you apart. You're different now. You have a different use in your life. And so, and that being sanctified is what makes us that special treasure in His eyes. And we are treated by God Almighty as a special treasure. And so, husbands, we are to treat our wives as that special treasure. That she would know she is set apart and that she is different. Why? Because she's married to you. Not because she's got to make excuse for you, right? That makes her different, right? Well, I'm my husband. No. But that she knows that she is special in your eyes and in your heart. Because you treat her as such. As the Lord cleanses us, as we are washed at the cross, and He continues to wash us, as it says, by the washing of the water, with the washing of water by the Word. And we know that the blood of Christ is what cleanses us, but as we grow in the Lord, we read His Word, and it is His Word that continues to wash us and wash us and wash us. I know Christians who, they'll give their lives to the Lord and they're clean, but then they have a very casual relationship with the Word of God. As a result, they can't really know who God is. And then, as well, there are things in their lives that will always hang on that will be a deterrent to any great things happening. But as we read the Word, we go, oh my goodness, the Word says this, and I've been doing that. We know that that cleanses us. Excuse me. So, God gave us His only Son, and then He gave us His written Word. And here, with that washing of water by the Word, what do we as husbands do with our wives? We are to give the Word of God to our wives. We are to be the giver of the Word of God to our wives. Oh. Now this, men, listen to me. This does not mean give her a weekly exam on her memory verses. You are not a taskmaster. I know you care about her and you want her to grow, and that's why you sit her down with her Bible for 3 hours, don't let her eat until she gets up. So understand you are doing way more harm than good by this. One thing that they taught us at that engaged encounter was that to read our Bibles daily together. Now, I confess to you that it's been years since my wife and I read our Bibles together. However, every day we are discussing the Word of God in our home. Some of you have great testimonies of the time your marriage almost fell apart and you came to me, said, what are we going to do? And I said, you're going to read your Bible together every day for 6 weeks and then come and see me. I will tell you, every couple that did that, their marriage was put back together in a glorious way. Most marriages won't do it. Why? Because they're going to stick to their guns. They're afraid that if they read the Word, something might get fixed. They're afraid they might get busted. I don't know, a lot of things you'd be afraid of reading the Word. But I'll tell you, the Lord will wash your marriage by the Word of God. And so, husbands, we are to bring up the Word of God in our homes. We are to share the Word of God, but not as a weapon, but as food. Look at verse 27. What else? That He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Present her to Himself. You know what? On the last day, we will be presented to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will be perfect. That's what this speaks of here. We are going to be presented to the Lord a glorious church and perfect, without spot, without blemish, holy in every way. In fact, the Lord sees us that way already. I know that's a hard one to grasp, but he does. So there are two things here, husbands, that I think need to be addressed. And that is what this is saying to you and me, is that as a result of this woman being married to you, she will be a much better person over the course of the years that she's married to you. You see, men, we must return our wives to him in better shape than when we got them. You're thinking, oh no, how do we do that? This doesn't mean get her on an exercise bike, you know. No. I just can't talk to some of you guys. I love 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, because it tells us practically how to accomplish this. It says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. By the way, some ladies are bent out of shape by this whole weaker vessel thing. How dare you say I'm a weaker vessel? God made men and women different. If you can't see that, and it is amazing to me that that difference between man and woman in the flow of this world today, they are trying to make them more the same. And you have women trying to be like men and men trying to be like women. That is an abomination to God. He made us the way we are for a reason. That's right. And it's good who you are. And ladies, face it, you are the weaker vessel. I like it. They have the WNBA. You know what WNBA is? That's the Women's National Basketball Association. It's professional basketball for women. That's good. You know, ladies like to play. But one of the great statements of that is like, hey, we're just like the men. We can do this just like men. And I say this, if you can do it just like the men, then why do you need a ladies' league? All right. So, you know, very important that we just deal with facts. I'm not interested in all the dreams of sinful people. I am interested in facts, just as it is written and just as you and I know by plain observation. Men and women are different. Husbands, you want to return your wife in better shape than you got her? As it reads in 1 Peter 3:7, then dwell with them with understanding. First part of that is dwell with them. Ugh. That's a great failure for many husbands. Dwell with them. But a greater failure is the with understanding. Because most of you guys just don't understand your wife. I see it in the word, dwell them with understanding. But I don't understand her at all. How am I supposed to do it? I do pretend. I totally understand you, darling. You know, she knows you don't. She's going to smack you. You know, she knows you're lying. This is not about lying and pretending to understand why your wife is so emotional over, you know, the muffins or something. And it's like, and it's just driving you crazy, and you just, I don't understand it. Dwell with her with understanding means give it a try to understand her. Get down there with her and say, you know what, Lord, I want to understand this lady, and I am going to put the effort in to understanding her, rather than the easy thing that men do. I don't understand her. I'm just going to go somewhere else. Because the funny thing is, your wife will say to you, go away, and when you do, she'll get mad. Do you, men, do we understand this? So, But if you want to return her in better shape, then you dwell with her with understanding, giving honor to the wife. Amen. As the weaker vessel. And certainly, women are the weaker vessel, and they must be treated with honor, men. Absolute honor. And when we look at, and so that's one thing, we got to return her in better shape than we got her. Secondly, men, when we look at her, just as Christ looks at the church, we must see her as glorious, already done. Now, I know this is so funny because you thought that on your wedding day. Men, that day, the wedding, she's looking great. And you have found this perfect woman. Your heart's doing a boobity-boobity-boobity thing, you know. And every time you look at her, it's a boobity-boobity-boobity. And you're thinking to yourself, she's awesome. She's the most perfect woman in the world. And you know what? That is the right thought. Absolutely. She even thought that about you. And then I lost my place. Oh. But what happens, then the reality sets in throughout life, and you realize that you just married a sinner. You realize you're a sinner. It is then we need to begin working these things in the Word of God through. But we are to remember our first love with our wives. I think I'm getting a little ahead of myself with some other stuff. So let's go on. But we are to present her and to see her as the perfect thing. Oh, and check this out. This is part of seeing her as the perfect thing. Husbands, do not blame her for your failures. What? Oh, who does that? Plenty of guys. I've seen it to my embarrassment. I'm just like, oh my goodness, did he just really say that? Did he just blame her? You know, the guys crash in the car and say, why did you let me do that? Let me tell you something. I was back years ago when Amy was a baby, just me and my wife and Amy, we were doing the music ministry, traveling church to church, and we were in Ukiah, of all places. And, you know, we didn't make hardly any money. And so we drove around in a car that had tires that needed to go. One of the tires, what Steve would call Maypops. They were Maypops. And yeah, some of you got to work your way through that. Maypops, what a Maypop. Anyway, one of the tires for the last couple of weeks, we've been driving up and down California, it had a slow leak. And so every time we would stop the car, we would check that tire. And when we get, and so anyway, we were there in Ukiah, and Bridget took Paige out to, and they went to the store, and they came back, and we were about ready to leave, and that tire was all the way flat. And I said to my poor, unfortunate wife, I said, that's got a slow leak in it. It's you're supposed to check that when you went out. You know, and she says, I'm sorry. And bless their hearts at Calvary Ukiah, Pastor Paul Stern said, hey, we want to bless you guys. And they bought us 4 new tires. All right. And I hardly even knew how to take that. You know, it's like, I mean, and so I was groveling all over. Thank you so much. Well, thank you. You know. And he goes, no, it's from the Lord. It's cool. It's from the Lord. I go, oh man, thanks. And he put his arm around me. He pulled me aside and he whispered to me, don't ever again blame your wife for your responsibilities. Amen. And he said it just like that. Changed my life that day. I praise God for that man. And I will tell you men, don't ever lay responsibility on your wife that is not hers. And of course, never lay responsibility on your wife for your sins, for your negligence, for your apathy. As well, do not speak publicly of her faults and failures. We are to present her spotless. Men, do not speak to others of your wife's faults. Now, you and your wife can definitely speak privately about it, but never publicly, because she is to be presented without spot and wrinkle. Another way to present her publicly without spot is to love her privately. What do you mean? Well, you love her publicly too, but I mean that when you're home, that she is loved. I mean, men, ask you this question. Does your wife know that she is loved? Does she know that? And I know some of you are going to answer that, well, I live with her, don't I? No. That's not it. Yeah, well, I tell her all the time as I'm getting ready to go for my 7-night-a-week bowling tournaments. Oh, you're that lady I love, right? Yeah, I love you. Or men, do you do that thing that men can do? You ignore your wife all day, all week. And then you're in bed and the lights are out. And you say, hello, darling. Men. My wife and I were laughing about that stupid Willie Nelson song. I think Elvis Presley originally did it, and then Willie Nelson did it again, right? Maybe I didn't love you, right? And that's a pitiful song. It's pitiful. I remember listening, I was 20 years old, and Willie Nelson was singing that, little things I should have said and done. And I'm going, what is it? You know, you are always on my mind. In other words, hey, darling, you don't see me. I don't care about you. I don't touch you. I don't look at you. I'm thinking about you. It was really funny because, you know, my wife and I, just like you guys, sometimes, you know, I go through these phases where I'm just like in my own little world. You know, my wife says, where the heck have you been, you know? And I did that thing with her. I did the Willie Nelson thing. I go, I'm thinking about you all the time. And I realized, I'm that loser. I'm that loser. I'm Willie Nelson the loser, you know? It is not enough to just think about the fact that you love her and then tell her so because, you know, hey, I've been thinking about you all the time. No, it doesn't work. That's not what it is. You're to be with her, touch her, say nice things to her. And that is how to present her spotless publicly. Because why? Because she is going to go, she's going to be radiant. A woman who is loved by her husband is like, you know, she's like the queen. She walks around, you know, I am beloved. I have a secret. You know, she's like, you know, she's like, you know. There's something special and happy and contented about this woman. And it is because her husband has been loving her. Sorry. Some of the things that come out of my mouth surprise me as much or more than they surprise you. In verse 28, husbands ought to love your own wives as your own bodies. If you love your wife, you love yourself, right? For no one ever hated his own flesh. Very important that you and I know this, and just I would like to just go ahead and refute some false teaching that goes around a lot, and that is this idea that Christians need to learn to love themselves. Oh, stop it. The Bible is even clearer right here. No one's ever not loved himself. No one's ever hated his own flesh. And the proof of that is the fact that you and I, we always want the best for ourselves, and we will get the best for ourselves if it's within our power. You know, I want to take care of me. I will always take care of me before I take care of you. I will always think of me before I think of you. I will always, and I know some of you think, well, I don't know, I just hate myself, I hate myself. If you think your way all the way through that, let me ask you this. Why is it that you hate yourself? Oh, well, I'm ugly. Wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. If you hated yourself, wouldn't you be glad that you were ugly? I hate myself. I don't have any friends. No, you wouldn't be upset if you didn't have any friends. You see, if you hated yourself, you would want pain for yourself all the time. You would want torture, irritation, agitation. That's what you would want for yourself. But the fact is, the reason you're bummed out and you think you hate yourself is because you have an overactive love for yourself. You have an overactive self problem. So, fact is, you and I love ourselves. You think about you so much. You do. Do you realize that people are afraid to come to church because they think everybody's looking at them? I'm afraid to go, man. Everybody's looking at me. No, they're not. They're all thinking the exact same thing you are. People are weird. I think the weirdest thing is to deceive ourselves into thinking that we're not these big, gross bundles of self-love. We love ourselves. It is a fact. So, you know, when Jesus says, you know, love others as you love yourself, that is not that horrible teaching that I've heard that Jesus was saying, you've got to learn to love yourself so you can love others. My goodness, that's from the devil. But fact is, we do love ourselves. And so we are to treat others the way we would treat ourselves. And so is the case with our wives, who, as we are one with, and we'll read that a little bit later, as we are the head, and she is basically the body, then that would mean that we're loving ourselves by loving her. It's kind of weird. It's just that since we're attached, then I would treat her well. And as I treat her well, it's like treating myself well. I'm going to get a better life out of it. Men, you know, you keep wondering why your wife's this or that, or she's not this or she's not that, and all of those things. But my question is this. Are you treating her with the same love that you treat yourself with? Are you cherishing her? Are you nourishing her the way you would do that for yourself? This is not to say, though, men, that that you buy her a chainsaw because you want one. All right. No, you treat her like lady. And so you treat her well, the way a lady wants to be treated. So, like I said, some of you just don't get it. Okay, verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. You know, my wife reminded me the other day of an analogy that I had used so long ago, but it still sticks pretty good, and that is a picture of the two becoming one. The fact is this, when you get married, you give up your identity for a new identity. You used to be single, but now you're, you know, you are a couple and you are one. and it works like chocolate milk. You have your Nestle's Quick. I love that powdery stuff. And you have milk. They are two totally different things. But when they come together and you mix them, they make one new thing that tastes better. And true story, just for fun. Too many marriages still want to maintain a sense of individuality. I'm going to hold on to my individual little world, this part of it over here, and you can hold on to your individual. That way, we might be able to get the best of both worlds, right? We can get the best of both. We can kind of have our little single lives and our individuality, and we'll have this oneness as well. No, that just doesn't work. It really doesn't. There will always be problems in that marriage because God's intention is that you would become one, and that's it. And that is to take that chocolate milk and mix it up completely so that there's no more powder left and there's no more milk left. It is that one thing. But with me and my chocolate milk, I like to always leave a little bit of undissolved chocolate at the bottom so I could take the spoon and, right? And that's where people are with their, this is where people are with their marriages sometimes. I'm going to leave a little bit of undissolved me in there. And I was 13 years old. We were camping over there at McCarrick-Chur, and we were... I was 13, and we were sitting around the campfire, and I had my chocolate milk, and I was doing that very thing, you know, and I just take it, I love that stuff on the bottom. You just put way too much of that, and you go like that. It was so good, and then I took a little, this true story, I put this in my mouth, and I'm just, and this stuff wouldn't dissolve, and I'm just, that's weird, it won't dissolve, and I'm just really sucking hard on it. I mean, it's hurting all around here. Gosh, what is that? Whoa, that is one tough piece of chocolate. You know, but finally I just reached in there and grabbed it out, and oh, it was a moth. You know, I... Suck the life out of that thing. Messed up. Just messed up. Understand something in marriage. You give up your identity to one another. And ladies, you are the one to give up your identity to your husband. And even in our culture, you change your name. You take on his name. Just as we give up our identity to Christ when we got saved, didn't we? We gave up our identity to him. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so there it is. We better hurry. Verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And we knew he was speaking Christ and the church, but this is a great opportunity for us to just take a step aside and say, wow, look at how God loves us. He loves us as he gave himself for us. in order to set us apart, to make us his special treasure, to cleanse us, to wash us clean, to present us perfect, to nourish us. He cherishes us. And that is, by the way, cherish there in the Greek says to treat with affection and tenderness, to hold dear. That's what he does with you and me. Jesus loves you the way the groom loves the bride on that wedding day. And he looks at you and his heart skips a beat, so to speak. He looks at you with that kind of love, Christians, as a whole, as a church, but also as individuals. And I know sometimes you feel like, God just loves me because he has to. It's his job. He's God, you know. No, but God has an affection for you. And you don't feel very beautiful. You might feel sinful today, and maybe you are sinful today, but he looks at you that way. And those of you who have not come to him and married him, changed from your old life, come to the new life, those of you who haven't done that, you can do that today. And those of you who have marriages that are on the rocks, be it Christian or not Christian. If you're not Christian, both of you, give your life to Jesus today. Oh, it'll be awesome. And now I will say this. While we experience these things, as we husbands, as we're looking at our bride at the wedding, and she's walking up, and she's looking good. Everybody's crying. We experience these things emotionally. We look at her, and our emotions are just so filled with love for her, with anticipation of being with her. We think that she is so perfect. But then over the course of time, the emotions run dry. And as I had said before and got ahead of myself, we're left with the reality that we've married a sinner. And then you look at chapter 5, verses 22 through 33, and then you go, oh no, these things are hard to do. Oh, they were easy at first. In fact, you look into each other's eyes, the soft focus, the flowers, the music. Oh, and you're looking each other's eyes saying, oh yeah, I totally submit to you. He's saying, yeah, I totally give my life up for you. And you mean it. You're sincere. And you don't know what you're talking about. Until you have to. Until you have to lay down your life in the middle of a fight. Until he or she has sinned against you in a way you never thought possible. Oh my. We have got to do these things. They're hard to do. These things are not going to pour out from our emotions if you've been married 10 years and 20 years and these will not flow from our emotions, but that's why it is agape love. It must flow from a choice. It must flow from a commitment. It must flow from the Holy Spirit of God. Reason is because our marriages are to be a witness of Christ and the church in this world. In Fort Bragg. And that people would look at our marriages and the way we treat one another and the way just we look. And people are going to say, wow, why you guys, woo, what are you, newlyweds? No, 22 years we've been married. 22 years. 32 years, 50 years. I'll never forget when Margaret Cameron had her stroke. They were in Marysville, and Bridget and I rushed out there because they said they only gave her a couple days to live. She would live another year and a half, 2 years, something like that, and she actually recovered very well, but then she had another stroke, and the Lord took her home But when we went out there, we saw her. She didn't know anybody's name. She didn't know. She was confused. She couldn't get her words in the right order. It was so sad. They showed us the picture of the spot in her brain that the stroke got. And while I was talking to Bruce, her husband, in the room, I noticed he got a little grin on his face. I didn't say anything funny. And he's got this little grin on his face. And his eyes got all twinkly. And I turned and saw Margaret lying in the bed, looking up at him with a smile on her face and her eyes all twinkly. And listening to Bruce talk about her, was what I hope and pray that I'm man enough to do and to be. But the love they had was so wonderful, awesome. Bruce wouldn't want me talking about him this way. Anyway, what a beautiful, beautiful couple. Well, we better wrap this up, otherwise we're going to get out of here. And so, it's a picture of Christ in the church. As the Lord looks at us with those twinkly eyes, may we look at our wives in such a way. Nevertheless, let each one of you, in particular, Paul goes, okay, back to the subject. You get your marriages right. Nevertheless, let each one of you, in particular, so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is the first time we saw the word respect. Oh, I have to respect him too? Yeah, husbands, so here it is. Your job, love your wife. Wives, your job, submit and respect. And no, he doesn't have to earn your respect. I've heard that way too often. Well, when he earns it, I'll give it. That's a horrible thing, because what if the husband always does wrong things and then suddenly he has one day where he does it right? You know what? She still won't respect him. You know what she says? We'll see how long this lasts. No. Wives, you submit and respect out of obedience to the Lord, not because your husband is wonderful, but because God is wonderful, and this is what he says. Now you say, what if he doesn't do these things? Some of you got saved and your husband's not. Your husband, you got saved and your wife's not. How does all this work here? Well, wives, 1 Peter 3:1, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. And so, wives, with unbelieving, you unequally yoked people, hey, you love, husbands, you love like Christ loved the church. You love your wife the way Christ loves the unbeliever, as he died for her. And so, bless you. And wives, you have unbelieving husbands, you submit and be beautiful on the inside for that man. Now, in closing, did anybody ever notice, just while we're just going through all of this, did you notice that this standard of a marriage is impossible? Come on, let's be real. This is impossible. No one can do this. And I'm reading through this stuff. I can't see anybody in here. And as good as my marriage is, which I believe it's a very good marriage, I can't stand here and say, oh yeah, I totally give myself up for her all the time. Yeah, present her spotless all the time. Yeah, no, I'm wonderful. No. It is an impossible standard, but it is the standard. It is the answer. You who have trouble with your marriage, look at these things. You who want to be married one day, look at these things. And reach for these things. We cannot attain this standard to perfection, but we can reach for it. And as we're reaching for it, what's going to happen? We will always be growing in our marriage. If we really look at this and say, okay, I'm going to reach for this standard, you're not going to be perfect. You'll fail. You'll fail daily, but it's going to get better and better and better. As I've heard ladies tell me and my wife, man, I got me a new husband. Husband saying, I got me a new wife. How did that happen? The Word of God and their willingness to obey it. And I know some people, you're going to go home today and you wives are going to look at your husband and say, okay, now are you doing any of those things? Make sure you're doing it. And the husband is saying, now you understand, did you hear him say that word, submit? So you're going to be watching each other. Don't do that. You watch yourself. You watch yourself. In fact, I'll leave it wide open. Email me or call me if your spouse goes like this to you. Yes. You'd go to my wife and say, 32 messages on my phone, you know. All right, some marriages need healing here today. You know who you are, and your feelings don't want to do these things. Your feelings don't want to do these things. But this isn't about feelings. It's about what's right. And I want to ask you to beg the Lord to help you get over your pride and do the right thing today. Some of you need overhauls in your marriage. Some of you need forgiveness. Just need a little boost somewhere. Maybe there's a part of your marriage that's just not working at all. And I guarantee you that the reason it's not working is because something's being dropped here in this list. You know, and so we're gonna worship the Lord a little bit here, and we're gonna have some people up here for prayer. If you want to come up to, you know, ladies come pray with the ladies, and men come pray with the men. But if you want to come up as a couple, you know, come up to either. I think I'll have Burley and Eileen up here to pray with you. But if you want to come up as a couple, you come to either Eileen or Burley and just get prayer as a couple. And the Lord wants to bless your marriage. Marriage, it's a blessing. You know, the Word says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. You know, it's a beautiful thing, marriage is. And the only way that it turns into something that's not beautiful is when we do it our way instead of God's way. And you may look at God's way and say, that's not going to work. And let me ask you, how's your way working? You know, so come on, don't be so silly and just do it God's way and watch what he does. It's an awesome, awesome thing. And, you know, some of your marriages are just doing great. Still good to get prayer for those. But I'll tell you this. If your Christian walk is not being played out at home, then at worst, you're a hypocrite. And at best, your walk just isn't going to work anywhere else. So let's get real with our marriages. Let's get real with the Lord that we would shine his light and that we'd bless our wives and husbands. Father, thank you for your word. And I know I didn't cover so much, but Lord, we so desperately need you in our marriages. We need you in our hearts and in our minds, in our actions, in our tone with our wives, our tone with our husbands. Lord, if there's any repentance that needs to happen here in the hearts of people, I pray that it would happen now. For those who don't know you, I pray that they would come up and get prayer. And say, I want to know you, Lord. How wonderful it is, Lord, that you will by no means turn anyone away. That all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So, Lord, we just want to now open this up for your Holy Spirit to speak to us as we sing your praises, as we cry out to you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.